Chapter 28. Time was a strange thing in the cell. The darkness had left him feeling discarded and forgotten. Now that the LED was on, Ramon had the sense of being scrutinized. The light was unforgiving. It made every squalid stain and scratch and chip in the cell perfectly clear. Ramon considered his wounds, and came to the conclusion that while he would ache and piss blood for days, he wouldn't be the last man Johnny Joe Cardenas had killed. He would recover, if the Enya let him. There were stories, all officially denied, about what happened to men who transgressed against the crews of the transport ships. Ramon had heard his share and believed them, or not, depending on who told them and when and where. Once he'd reached the colony, they had the same status as ghost stories. They were pleasantly frightening and grotesque, but nothing to spend time thinking about. Now, though, he wondered, if they took him, would he hold out? There wasn't any advantage to him in keeping Manek's secret if the Enya would wrench it out of him anyway. The slaughter that followed would be the same whether Ramon offered up the information or had it taken from him. Except, of course, to Ramon. On the other hand, he was a tough son of a bitch. So maybe he could stand it, even if they tried to break him. No way to know without trying. Instead of obsessing about it, Ramon attempted to pinpoint the moment when he'd stopped thinking of Manek and the aliens beneath the mountains as his enemies. It had to have happened. He had dedicated himself to killing them for the indignities they'd heaped upon him, and now, here he was, wondering if he would be strong enough to die to protect them if the need arose. It wasn't a small change of heart, and yet he couldn't say when it had happened, or why it felt so much like the moment he'd spoken up for the woman in the bar, or why the prospect of his own torture and death didn't fill him with some greater dread. But there had been no promise of survival with the European either. He could have died in that alley as easily as he had killed. The result wasn't the point. It was all about being the kind of man who would do the sort of thing he was doing. It was a reason to be. A reason to die a good death. If that's what it meant. And maybe he had a thing for lost causes, like that guy in the telenovela. And then there were also long stretches when Ramon knew that if anyone had asked at that particular moment, he'd have told them anything, everything, just as long as they'd let him go. As the hours passed, he came to fix Manek's chances at maybe 60-40 against, depending on what part of its cycle of heroism and cowardice his mind was in when they came, and whether they pissed him off enough that he'd be willing to sacrifice himself out of spite. When the door opened and the guards stepped in, the supervisor was with them. He'd changed his suit, so Ramon figured at least a day had passed since he'd been hauled into the cell. That seemed plausible. Once he was shackled, the guards marched him, one before, two behind, and all of them with electric batons out and charged, to a small meeting chamber. It was nicely appointed, none of the slaughterhouse feel that the rest of the station maintained. The Enya from before, or else one enough like it to fool Ramon, stood against one wall, its slick tongue darting contentedly over its body. The governor was there, and, to Ramon's surprise, the woman from the bar. The supervisor had the guards lead Ramon to a chair bolted to the floor and chain him to it. The governor looked at him with a mixture of disgust and shrewd evaluation. The woman glanced at him once, her expression profoundly bored, and turned back to her data pad. "This is all your fucking fault," he projected the thought toward the woman. "If you had stood up for yourself, instead of counting on us to do your fighting for you, I wouldn't be in this fucked-up situation."
"Okay," the governor said, sounding annoyed. "Can we get this over with?"
"They're just getting her into the interrogation room now, sir," the supervisor said.
"Who?"
Ramon asked. "What the fuck's going on?"
"What I told you, hijo," the supervisor said. "End of the line."
A wall screen popped once and then hummed to life.
The hellish little interrogation room came into being, canted at a disturbing angle. He could see the back of the constable's head and the place where the man was just starting to bald. Across from him, Elena was looking annoyed and fidgeting with a cigarette. Ramon coughed. Hey,
wait! No fucking way! No way! I just broke it off with her! She's fucking loca! You can't believe a thing she says!"
The governor shot a glance at the supervisor. The Enya's wet oyster eyes seemed to flicker as it considered Ramon. The woman pretended she hadn't heard him.
"Señor Espejo," the supervisor said. "Extradition hearing needs the governor, a representative of the foreign power, a representative of the police, and the accused. That's you. Doesn't say a goddamn thing about the accused getting to talk. With all due respect for your rights as a citizen, this is your chance to shut the fuck up before I gag you. Okay?"
On the screen, the constable and Elena were going through the motions, stating her name and address, whether she knew Ramon Espejo.
"But she's a liar!"
Ramon said, embarrassed to hear the whine in his voice.
"I known that asswipe for 7 years," Elena said from the screen. "Whenever he comes to town, he stays with me. Eats my food, leaves his crap on my floor. I even washed his pinche clothes, you believe that? I got a good job, and I'm spending my time off shift making sure that slack-ass cabron has clean socks."
"So would you call your relationship with Señor Espejo an intimate one?"
Elena glanced at the constable, then down at the floor, shrugging.
"I guess," she said. "I mean, yeah, we were intimate."
"In your time with Señor Espejo, 7 years, you said, you washed his laundry often?"
"Sure," Elena said.
"She never," Ramon began.
The supervisor shook his head once, left, right.
"Stop," with a sense of threat that made Ramon go quiet.
"And in that time," the constable said, "did you ever come across this garment?"
With a flourish, he produced the robe. Ramon looked over at the Enya. Its gaze was on the screen, its tongue moving restlessly, darting in and out of its mouth, the fringe of chartreuse cilia that lined its body squirming like worms.
"I've got to tell them," Ramon thought. "For fuck's sake, I gotta tell them now before they give me to that thing."
Second-hand visions danced through his mind. The Silver Enya on their path of slaughter. What methods would they devise to wring information from a human? All he had to do was talk, say a few words, and condemn Manek's people to death. How fucking hard could that be?
"That rag? All the time," Elena said. "Leaves it on the floor of the fucking bathroom whenever he takes a shower. And you know why? Because he thinks I'm his goddamn maid. Pendejo. I'll tell you what, I'm way better off without him. Kicking his ass out was the best thing I ever did."
Ramon's panic had deafened him, so it took a moment before the meaning of her words came to him. He turned to the screen, his jaw slack. In the interrogation room, silence stretched. The constable's mouth moved as if he were speaking, but no words escaped. Elena scratched herself indelicately. Ramon's head spun. It was bullshit. Elena couldn't have seen this robe. Not even after he'd come back from the hospital. She was lying. And lying in just the right way to save his sorry ass. He couldn't understand it.
"Are you sure of that?"
the constable asked. His voice sounded a little strangled.
"Please take a very close look at this. You're sure you've seen this particular piece of clothing?"
"Yeah,"
Elena said.
"But in your deposition, you said that Señor Espejo doesn't own a robe."
"That's not a robe," Elena said.
"Robe is like down to your ankles long. That would only go to just under his knee. It's more like a smock." "And this smock,"
the constable said, then trailed off. Ramon almost felt sorry for the little shit.
What was there left for him to say?
"He's had it since I met him," Elena said. "I kept telling him to throw the fucking shabby thing out, but did he ever listen to me?"
"Never. Never once, about anything. Pinche motherfucker."
"Ah," the constable said, and then, hopelessly,
"You're sure?"
"Do I look stupid?" Elena asked, frowning. A sense of unreality washed over him. Someone had gotten to her. Someone had gotten to Elena between the time she gave her deposition and now, and coached her on how to pull Ramon's sorry balls out of the fire. He wondered how much it had cost. Knowing Elena, probably a fair amount. He didn't let himself laugh, but the relief was like taking a drink of the best whiskey he'd ever had. Better, maybe. Standing beside the governor, the straight-haired woman looked over at him, her face empty of any expression. The problem with aliens, Ramon realized, was that they could never truly understand all the subtle ways that humans could communicate with humans. 100 years of talking, and Ramon would never have been able to explain to anyone else how exactly the woman raising her chin a few millimeters meant, "You're welcome," and "Thank you," and "We're even," all at the same time. Ramon imagined the European soul trapped somewhere in hell, keening his anger as Ramon escaped. On screen, the constable limped through a few more pointless questions and then closed the interrogation. The governor tapped at his data pad once, and the wall screen image faded. Ramon rubbed his hand against his thigh, trying to hide his elation by feigning impatience and rage.
"So you still want to gag me, pendejo?" Ramon asked. "I don't mean to be, you know, unreasonable or anything, but now that you fuckers have locked me up, kicked the shit out of me, and tried to hand me over to that great glob of snot over there, can someone unlock these fucking shackles so I can go talk to a lawyer about how much I can sue you for?"
"His account is consistent," the Enya piped. "He is of no interest."
Never in his life had Ramon been so thoroughly pleased to be of no interest. The governor, his assistant, and the Enya all left while Ramon was being processed out. The supervisor went through the forms and procedures with a bored efficiency. Only his continued presence indicated that he wanted to be sure nothing else about all this went wrong. Within an hour, Ramon stepped onto the street, worse for wear, but grinning all the same. He paused to spit on the ground at the base of the station house stairs, then strode out into the city, making it almost half a block before he realized that he had nowhere to go. He had been on his way to find Liana and create some kind of new life for himself. He was maybe 2 hours' walk from there now, still with the wristband identification they used when he was in custody, bruised and beaten from his time with Johnny Joe, and not feeling up to a long walk anyway. He kept moving until he found a public square, a sad little plot of dirt in the shadow of an administrative complex. He sat on a bench, just for a few minutes, though. He didn't want the police to hassle him, and he figured he looked like a bum. A bum, without a place of his own, without a job. He had nothing, only a half-baked plan to rebuild himself, and a secret he couldn't tell anyone. High above, the Enya ships flickered, their forms dimmed by the haze of smoke that squatted over the city. The sun would set soon, and the few stars that could struggle against the city lights would come out. Ramon shoved his hands in his pockets. Liana seemed like a dream now, an idea he'd had when he was drunk, only to find it nonsense when sobriety returned. He tried to imagine what he would say to her, how he would explain that the beaten-up, penniless prospector without a van or even a place to sleep was someone who had worth. Never mind that he'd just gotten out of the station house jail and probably smelled like it. Never mind that he'd just become the new Johnny Joe, first on the list of usual suspects to be rounded up the next time the governor needed someone to take the fall for some inconveniently unsolvable crime. He knew what Liana would see when she looked at him. She'd see Ramon Espejo. It was still twilight when he reached the butcher's shop. It had been closed for hours, metal bars hugging the doors and windows. He took the side stairs up. There were lights on in Elena's apartment. He stood in the gloom at the top of the stairs for a long time. There were cats in the alley, another species imported from Earth. Lizards skittered up the wall and took wing. The scent of old blood rotting in the alley, mixed with the wood smoke and van exhaust. The odor of Diego Town was acrid and familiar. The tension in his shoulders and gut was also familiar. Up in the night sky, Big Girl was peeking out from behind the high clouds. The boom and blare of distant music. He knocked. When she opened the door, he could see the question in her eyes. There were any number of reasons he might have come. To say thank you. To get some of the shit he'd forgotten and leave again. To stay. Each one had a different greeting to match it, and she wasn't sure which to use. He wasn't either. "Hey," he said. "You look like shit," she said. "The cops do that? Get their fucking hands dirty." No, they had a guy do it for them. Elena crossed her arms over her breasts. She hadn't stood aside. Afraid, he guessed, that he wouldn't accept the invitation. "You give as good as you got," she asked. "He's dead," Ramon said. "I didn't kill him, so I'm not in trouble or any shit like that. But he was there because of me, and they killed him. I figure that means I won." "Tough cabron," Elena said, half mocking, but only half. "Dangerous to cross." An orbital shuttle throbbed up into the night. Ramon smiled. It hurt a little, around his eye. Elena looked down, smiled shyly at his knees, and stepped back. He went inside, closing the door behind him. She'd made rice gumbo. It was the kind of dish she could tell herself she made so she could eat the leftovers through the week, or it could be meant to feed two. Ramon sat at the table and let her serve him a bowl. "You are good," he said. "With the cops, I mean. That thing about how it's a smock." "You like that?" Elena asked. "That was my idea." "It was good," Ramon said. "Only thing was, with the camera like that, I couldn't see his face." Elena grinned, made a bowl for herself, and sat down. The atmosphere surrounding them seemed as fragile as blown glass. Ramon cleared his throat, but didn't have any words to follow up with, so he took a mouthful of gumbo. It wasn't very good. "That rich lady," Elena said, "the one who came and talked to me. She was the one at the El Rey." "Yeah," Ramon said. "That was her." "She seemed okay." "I don't know. I never talked to her." Elena's eyes narrowed. Her lips thinned. Ramon felt the distrust emanating from her like heat. He shook his head. "No shit," he said. "She never said a fucking word to me. I only ever heard her name because one of the cops said it." "You got in a knife fight with a guy over some woman you never even talked to?" Elena's voice was incredulous, but not angry. "Well, he didn't know it was a knife fight," Ramon said. "You're fucking crazy," she said. Ramon laughed. Elena laughed with him. The fragile moment passed. The fight they'd had was just another fight now. One of a thousand before, and a thousand still to come, too insignificant to remember. He reached out and took her hand. "I'm glad you came back," she said. "I fit here," he said. "I thought for a while I was someone else, but this is where I am, you know? To be Ramon and not Ramon is Aubrey." "What's that mean?" "Damned if I know," Ramon said through a grin. "It's just something a friend of mine used to say."